And so we want everybody to be involved. I'm going to preach here in just a little bit on missions. And I try not to be covert in my operations. I try not to necessarily try to hide what I'm going to say. I believe, as I've mentioned before, that everybody in this room, everybody in this church ought to be involved in missions. And I don't know how much that you should, we can all give ourselves to the Lord, say, Lord, if you want me to go, I will. And some say, well, I'm too old for that. Well, there's been some up in years that have dedicated themselves to, Lord, I can go do something, and they've been quite successful with that. But we can give, and we can certainly pray. And so I'm a big believer that everybody I'm looking at, and we're broadcasting on the radio. This is from Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. For those of you listening on the radio, we're certainly thankful that you've tuned in that way. But I believe that everybody ought to be involved in missions. Now, how much you should be involved, I'm talking financially here, that's between you and the Lord. That's not my department. But I believe that everybody should be involved in missions. I want us all to have the opportunity. And because we go to this church, we do have the opportunity. We have a wonderful faith promise, grace-giving missions program that you're able to just give through the regular offerings. And in the regular offering time, you can just designate that to go to missions. And then all of that goes to missionaries. And some of the ones that we're blessed to have as our guests today are Colton and Melody Lee, and she sang for us just now. He introduced himself briefly in the beginning of the service, and then they were in the Sunday school hour. But here's what I'd like to tell you. Tonight, we're going to have a much less time constraints, and we'll hear from both of them. We'll hear from Brother Colton, and he'll give a lot of facts about what God has done in his heart to get him to this point, and then what he believed the Lord has in store for them. And so I'd like for you all to be a part of that, and I'd like for you to come back tonight at 6:30, and we'll have a great, great time together. And then, as I mentioned, on Wednesday night, I'd like for you to come and hear one of Buffalo Ridge's own, Brother Levi Mullins. He'll be preaching for us this Wednesday, and let you keep up to date on them. I was a little bit worried. Levi grew up here, and so did his wife, Brittany, and now Levi's sitting on one side of Brittany, and Barney, Brittany's dad, is on the other side. And I almost told Barney, I almost went back during the song service and said they're supposed to leave father and mother and cleave. And so I almost made Barney go sit in the balcony. But I'm going to let you stay there, Barney, for now. But just don't try to get any big ideas. You're going to take her back home with you because she's already committed. So, and it's wonderful. This church is a great place to find somebody. And we're certainly thankful that they are serving the Lord together, both from right here at Buffalo Ridge. And what a joy all of that is. Well, I do want to preach to you. I thank you, Lord. I thank the Lord for the crowd. There's a wonderful group here today. Some of you are tricking me. You're in the wrong place. Now, it's not that we have assigned seats, but most of you are creatures of habits, and you go right back to that same seat. Now, I don't want you to get to a place where you come to somebody and say, hey, that's my seat. Wrong answer. We don't do that at a growing church. You don't want to do that. Somebody's in your seat. You praise the Lord. Move up a pew. You say, you think that's going to be open? If that one's not open, move up a pew. You say, you think that one's going to open? I don't know, but you keep coming far enough and you'll get one that's open because they're always open here on the front. So you can always find a place. But now we always do sit in pretty well the same area, and some of you are tricking me. I see the bursars up there and I see some people that are in the wrong spot. And so I checked your attendance off and I didn't discount you because you were in the wrong area. So you're all right. But it's good to be in church. Wonderful, wonderful place to be here amongst God's people. And I'm looking forward to all that God has for us this morning. We've got another half hour of this, and we'll get done around normal time. But then if you're in your 50s and you signed up for the meet and greet, please make your way across to the Family Life Center. They'll have it all ready, and we're having wonderful fellowships. If you're in your 50s and you didn't sign up, please come over. We've got plenty. And we want to invite you. You say, that's a little awkward, a little odd. This is maybe my first Sunday here. I guarantee you, you wouldn't be a stranger for long. Just come over with us. My wife and I will be in the lobby greeting people on the way out. And we've got some candy back there for all the kids if you make your way past. Most of them are up in junior church. But if you're in here, see us and we'll get you some. But we'll make our way across to the Family Life Center as well. And so if you're in your 50s and you haven't signed up, don't let that hold you back. Please stay with us. And a wonderful aspect of a church is the fellowship people get to have. And that's not just for 2 minutes. Oh, good to see you. Thank you. You're looking nice. And then moving on. That's staying around and finding out how you can pray one for another and finding out the struggles and the joys. And so I invite you, please stay with us. We'd love to have you. So all of those things out of the way. And I mentioned already that I'm going to preach on missions. This is our missions month. You've got, in the recent weeks, you've gotten a Faith Promise missions card. This is something that you can do. You can take in any of the, you can drop them off any of the offering times. And just this portion over here, you put in there, my weekly Faith Promise amount. Maybe you give in a different form than weekly, but if you can break, you can put it in the other, or you can break that down for us. Maybe your pay, it doesn't work that way, and just give monthly or whatever, but break that down if you can for us weekly. But as I already said, I'm gunning for all of us, because I don't care how much we give, but I believe all of us ought to give. And I want to show you that from the scriptures if I can. A familiar passage in Philippians chapter number 4, if you'll find your place there in Philippians chapter 4. While you're finding your place in Philippians chapter 4, I did hear about this story of this elderly couple. They were celebrating 60 years of marriage. They were at this church fellowship hall. They were having a big shindig. Their family had put it on. And so they had a little question answer time to find out, you know, some ins and outs about how it was being married for that year, that long, six decades. And one of the questions that the person asked said, well, what's the secret to staying married this long? And the old fella piped up. He said, well, I tell you how it worked for us. On our 25th anniversary, I took her to the Bahamas. She said, ooh, that's pretty nice. He said, well, if you did that on the 25th, it must have really gotten ratcheted up. What'd you do when you got to your 50th 10 years ago? He said, I went back and picked her up. So 25 of the happiest years of their life, I'm sure. So in Philippians chapter number 4, verse number 14, this is a direct correspondence. We know it's the inspired word of God, but it's also a direct correspondence to the people at Philippi. God was using Paul to write to them. Notwithstanding, ye have well done that ye did communicate with my affliction. Now, you Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. For even in Thessalonica, ye sent once and again unto my necessity. Not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that it may abound to your account. But I have all, meaning I've received it all. I've got what I need. And abound, I'm full. Having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, the delivery boy Epaphroditus brought them from you to me. They were an odor of sweet smell, meaning a fragrance. It was just well-pleasing, as it says, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. And then he caps it all off, that section of Scripture, but, as if you think that were enough, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. I want to preach for just a little while about why give to missions. These aren't new themes. I've preached on some of these aspects. But I'd like to preach today, why give? Why would we give your money, my money, what God's put in? You realize everything that comes into your bank account, you're a steward of. Because it all comes from God. You say, oh no, mine comes from Eastman, or mine comes from Ballard, or mine comes from Buffalo Ridge, or my... No, no, no. God may use various sources to get it to you, but it all comes from Him.
That's right.
And so we're stewards of what comes into our accounts, and we're responsible. Now, He understands. God knows. We pay our livings. We pay for the things we need. And most of us have air-conditioned houses, and we all about... I think everybody has running water. And I like that one fellow said, I got running water. I go in the bucket and get it out the well, and I run back with it. We don't have that kind of running water anymore. All of us have running water. We've all got these things, and we pay those bills, and you should. But we realize we pay for a lot of things that aren't necessarily spiritual, but they're necessities to live. But we also ought to be involved in giving some of that money. I believe that we give a portion back to the Lord. I believe you read all the way from the Old Testament, New Testament. God says to give a portion of that back, and that's that part that's expected. But above that, I believe we ought to be involved in some giving to people who are going. and want to preach to you for a little while. Father, again, bless us. Help us now as our prayer. We ask you, Lord, to be with us. We ask you to help us to take this and internalize it, dear Lord, because I believe you've got a wonderful plan and program that we pay and give to those that are going, and I pray that you'd help us now in that endeavor. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to remind us of the great commandment or the great commission that God has given us in the Word of God, and that great commission is, go ye therefore into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. We have a command or a commission to go in the world and preach the gospel, and the gospel, we'll get into that in just a moment. But I'm afraid that many churches have forgotten what they're here for. I read a story years ago about this little boy. He was built by his dad a big old sandbox out in the front yard, a massive thing. And so he had conned his mom and his grandma, who lived with him also, to play in the sandbox with him. And they were out there playing. At first, they were just whatever you want to do. And they played with the little boy and building whatever he wanted. But after a while, as happens to all of us adults, they got involved in their own little building. And they were building things. And they were building castles and all that. And lo and behold, mom and grandma got to so engulfed in what they were doing, they didn't realize that the boy had went back inside. He got tired of playing, so he went back in to make himself a peanut butter sandwich or do something. And so mom and grandma were intent. They were talking, yik-yakking back and forth and talking. And they were just building in this, having a good time of fellowship. Weren't doing much on the babysitting, but they were really doing a good job of fellowshipping. But they started noticing they were close to a sidewalk there, and people were just looking at them with strange looks. So much so they'd point at these two, one elderly lady and one middle-aged lady, as they were just playing together in this sandbox. And finally, the looks got to be too much for them, and so they looked at each other and then looked around, and they realized there was only two in the sandbox, mom and grandma. They forgot why they were even there. They forgot that they were out there for the playing pleasure of their son and grandson. They forgot that they weren't out there for themselves. They were out there for the joy of somebody else. Now, I'm not going to put an indictment on all churches, because I certainly don't know the hearts of all the leaders and all the churches around in our area, but I can just say, generally, many of our churches are about like that mom and grandmother. They have forgotten why they're even here on this earth. We are not here to provide social clubs and entertainment. We're not here to even provide community, which, you know, I'm a big fellowshipper. We're not here for those things. We are here for the express purpose of getting the gospel out to the people who don't already know it. Now, all the other byproducts of a church, the fellowship, the camaraderie, the friendship, and all of that, those are just wonderful blessings that God puts on. And they really are an aspect of the church that are supposed to be present. But the main purpose is to get the gospel to the world. And notwithstanding, Paul said to the people of Philippi, ye have well done that ye communicated with my affliction. They were giving again and again to his need. And I want to preach to you for a little while about why we ought to do the same. We don't have the Apostle Paul. He's long since been in heaven, but we do have missionaries right now up and down our hall, but really, literally around the world, and I want to show us why we ought to be involved in that. You say, preacher, I know that when I came to church, you was going to preach on money. I really am not. I want us to realize that we are responsible to give some, and that usually involves money, but not for that money's sake. We don't need your money. I'm never preaching like that. But we've got a lot of missionaries that we want to get around the world, and I'll show you that they do. Number one, I want you to look at this in verse number 15. Why should I give to missions? Because it's the gospel that they're taking. Verse 15, you Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me concerning giving and receiving except ye only. Paul says at the beginning of the gospel, you've been communicating, meaning going back and forth with your support, that the beginning of the gospel. What is the beginning of the gospel? Well, I would submit to you, we'd have to find out, first of all, what the gospel is. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, it says under this, giving to the people at Corinth, I declare unto you the gospel. And then he goes on to say what it is. Christ died for our sins, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day. Therein, my friends, you have found in one short sum the gospel, the death, burial, resurrection of Jesus Christ. And what the apostle says to this group in Philippi, he says, since the beginning, you've been communicating in the beginning of the gospel. The first time we took it out to these people, you were there, meaning that you were there on the ground floor, so to speak. We may not be in on the ground floor because it's been going for a long time, but we can take it somewhere where it never has been preached. We can take it where it's not well communicated, and we can get in on the ground floor of getting the gospel to some people who desperately need to hear it. So I say, why should I give to missions? The reason I give to missions is because of the message that missionaries are taking. It's the gospel. I'm all about going to other lands and helping them get cleaner or better or things that they need. But unless the gospel is involved in all of that, then we're not going over there to do humanitarian work. We're going over there to give the gospel. Number two, I'd like to give you this out of verse 16. Not only is it the gospel, or meaning the subject matter is so important, but I give you this. Why should I give to missionaries? Because our missionaries need it. You're in verse 16 again. For even in Thessalonica, you sent once and again unto my, what's that next word, class? Necessity. He needed some things. I sat at a pizza shop in Delaware, Ohio, when we pastored there. One of our missionaries would come through, had come through, and we were sitting there fellowshipping, eating, and he had told me that because of his visa status in the country that he was in, he was allowed to be there as a missionary, but he was not allowed to make any money. The government didn't allow that, so all of his support had to be from some other source. They couldn't do that for some reason about his visa status, because sometimes people say, well, why don't they just get a job? Well, one, it's hard to get a job coming into a new society and all that, and we're not preaching, or we're not sending them over there so they can get a job and make a living over there. We're sending them to prepare, or to not prepare, but to proclaim the gospel. And this particular missionary who was sitting there at Amato's Pizza was saying how the government monitored all of their income, and their income had to come from a source outside of the government right there. And I realized on that evening as we sat there and talked that the one reason I ought to give to missions and we ought to give to it is because the missionaries need it. There's really no way to get around it, but they need it. Do you know the way that missionaries are going to get groceries in Thailand? They're going to buy them. Well, maybe they'll grow some, maybe they'll do, and I'm sure they probably will, but there's going to have to be some things. It's amazing how we think that our missionaries are going to get so ingenuitive, and they're going to get so creative, and they're going to do things that we don't do. They're going to live over there just about like we live over here. As far as the way they're going to get their needs met, they're going to have to go to a market, go to a store, go to this, and I give you that they need it. Verse number 16, he says, you communicate again unto my necessity. But not only that, look in verse 17, I need to give it. It's not just that they need it, but I need to give it. Verse 17 says this, not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. I'm in need. And it's just something down in us humans that's true, doesn't matter how you slice it, that we're better when we're givers. We are better for it when we give to somebody in need. And so the apostle says here, I didn't need it, verse 17, not because I desire a gift. I didn't want you to send another love offering. I don't want no more cheese and bread or whatever he said. I don't want no more. But I desire fruit that it may abound to your account. We get money. All of us do. And we get to spend a good bit of it. And one thing that many of us have decided to be a good idea is to invest some of it so that one time when you're old and you can't make any more, your health is gone, that you'll have some return on that investment. You'll set up an IRA, individual retirement account, or you'll put it in some kind of stocks or bonds or whatever else it is. We put our investment in. God says he has some retirement accounts as well. And he says that those retirement accounts that we can invest in, we will see heavenly returns. That's what the Word says, that fruit may abound to your account. Now, you'll never hear me preach. If I do, so you talk to me afterwards and say, "Preacher, you've gone off the board." You'll never hear me preach to say, if you give this, God will come back and give you this. And money-wise, I mean. You give this much, and He'll give you so much more. It may not return itself in finances at all. But I do know the Bible is very clear when it says, "Give, and it shall be given unto you, pressed down, shaken together." So I'm seeing here, not only did those missionaries need it, our missionaries up and down our hall, our missionaries, Brother Levi, our missionaries that are here with us today, Brother Colton, we're getting to meet them, and other missionaries that are up around this country trying to get to some other country to proclaim the gospel. Yes, it's the gospel that they're taking, but yes, they need it. How else are they going to get it? If it's not us, it's not magic. They don't just some supernatural way when they get over there, God replenishes their coffers every evening. Their account just always stays at a certain level. You say, well, isn't that what you want God to work? Yes, I want God to work, and I believe He's going to work, but I believe most time He's going to use us in their lives. That's what happened in the Scriptures. Paul went, the Philippians, they provided. So I need to give it. But then fourthly and last is this. Verse number 19, we're working our way down through. But my God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory. Not only do I need to give it, but I also see as I care for them, God cares for me. As I've already said, I'm not trying to say, oh, you give this much and God will give you that much more money. But I believe God will bless you more with other things than even the money was needed in your account. Let me give you an illustration. We heard, Amy and I caught wind, that when Jared was still at school, there was a missionary family that their boy was there, and he hadn't been home, I think, in 3 or 4 years because he just didn't have the money to go home in the summer, so he'd stay there and work, as many of the missionary kids would, labor through the summer just to help them get the money for the fall, and then they didn't have the money for the astronomical price to fly back home. And so Jared had caught wind of that, and somehow Amy had caught wind of a need. And so he gave something to this fellow student, but who was a missionary kid, because he didn't have something. Now you tell me, what does that do to a dad's heart when you hear that your son gave out of his money he probably didn't have a whole lot of either, that he had worked for in the summers and grass and all the mowing and all of that, when he felt motivated to give to a missionary need at his school of so somebody could stay there and keep on learning and keep on getting educated, what does that as a dad make me do? You know what it made me do. It made me have Amy transfer some money from our account into his to be a blessing to that person who had been a blessing to somebody who needed it. As the Scripture says, you think God's a worse father than I? Not in your life. And so we see that the Scripture clearly says, but my God, he was talking about all of these things, he's taking it all in context, and you see, Paul said, you gave to me, and I don't desire the gift, but I do desire fruit that it may abound to your account. And then he caps it all off, and he says, you think this scenario that's played out is something? But my God. As if you take your foot and you stomp it down and say, but my God shall supply like you've never even dreamed about. Because they were giving out of their finite resources, but how does the verse say that God is going to supply their needs according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus? So again, I'm not standing here to say you give to missions and you'll have no problems. You'll have all the money you need. But I am saying by us trusting God with our finances enough to give it, I've certainly opened up an opportunity for God to pour out His blessings and provide for me. People always want to get in on a good investment. Oh, what's going to make a good return? And we always mean financially, and I can't guarantee that. But I can guarantee that if we would let go of some of the money that God has entrusted us with and get it out to the mission field, I think that verse number 19 is ours, just as much as it was the people at Philippi. But my God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. We all want to get in a great investment. I can't tell you what there are. I'm not so smart enough. But I can tell you some spiritual investments are Graham Foran, our missionary to Brazil, Carrie Abbott, our missionary to France, Summer Scruggs on the deputation trail trying to get to Africa, Levi Mullins, who's here now but trying to take the gospel to the United Kingdom, Stephen Carrier trying to get the gospel to those folks in Chile. And I want to be involved in investing some money in something that's eternal. So please don't walk out and say, I knew he'd talk about money. I'm back again. That's the first time I've been here in 10 years. He's talking about money. I am. But we're not talking about money to rebuild a building. We're not talking about money to, certainly not talking about money for staff salaries. We're talking about money that can be used for missions as we bring missionaries in. And God lets us partner with them and support them as they take the blessed gospel around the world. Amen. So I'm not presenting to you, I'm not coming to begging for money. I don't think I ever would do that. But what I'm presenting is a wonderful opportunity for us to be biblical about this, since we found some people who are willing to go, and I'm not going. I don't think God wants me to at this point in my life. I'd like to think I would be willing if he asked me to or commanded me to. But since I'm not going, I feel a great responsibility to give toward those who are. And I thought you would feel the same, and that's why I want to bring you this message this morning. Now, if you're here today, and this all sounds kind of strange, like, well, I knew that churches always wanted money. Again, I just told you what we want it for, so missionaries can go around the world. But perhaps you're here right in our little corner of the world, and you're not sure that you know the gospel. Can I just take a moment to tell you what every missionary that we support is going to be doing? Now, he may be drilling wells and using that as an inroad to get the gospel out to people. He may be doing other things to try to get a way to get in to get the message to people. But here will be the way that she or he will, here's the message he or she will be giving. That is that everybody in whatever land they find themselves in, every person, like there, like here, is a sinner before God, on Almighty God. All of us fall short of the glory of God. The Bible says, for all have sinned. That means that the whole world equally is under condemnation. We all put a big measuring stick, say, well, how bad of a sinner is he? Or how bad of a sinner is she? Boy, I'm glad I'm not as bad as that one. God says, when you compare yourself to him, we're all bad. Amen. For all have sinned. And the Bible says, as a matter of fact, there's a wage, a penalty, or a payment for those sins. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. So that means that not only would I die physically, but the Scripture links that spiritual death to that. I'd die spiritually as well, and that would involve an eternal separation from God. The Bible says that every person in the world needs to realize they're a sinner, needs to realize there's a penalty for that sin. But the message that every missionary from Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church will be taking to the foreign land that they go is that Jesus Christ came and died on the cross that we represented in the middle of this auditorium at the forefront, up at the top. That cross, that of course is not it, but that just reminds us of the one that he did die on. And so every missionary from our church will take the message that there was a Jesus Christ, a Savior, who died upon the cross for your sins and mine. That's what he did. And then he died, was buried, and rose again. As I already mentioned, that's the gospel. Amen. And we're involved in sending missionaries around the world, but we don't want to miss somebody that's right here in our neck of the woods. And maybe you're here today and you're not sure that you've ever received Jesus Christ as your own Savior for your sins. And if you never have, you say, what does that mean? Does that mean that you join a church? Going to join a church doesn't get a person to heaven. Does that mean that we decide to turn over a new leaf and now walk a new path? That never gets a person to heaven. The Bible says what gets a person on their way to heaven is when they know who they are, the sinner. They know who he is, the Savior. And they receive him into their life for the forgiveness of their sins. And maybe you're here today on Mission Sunday, And you say, that sounds like a good idea, these missionaries going around the world, but I better get this part of the world figured out first, and I better make sure that Jesus is my Savior. And if you're here today and you've never done that, oh, our prayer is, we've been praying for this day for a long time, our prayer is that you would receive Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. And then if you're saved and you're part of this church, you're not a part of this church, but you feel like God wants you to be, then I'm challenging you as the pastor of Buffalo Ridge that each of us take a swing at the gospel to get it around the world. Your swing might be bigger or smaller than mine. That's not the point. You might have a big bat and I've got a little one, or vice versa. That's not the point. But we're going to take a swing at getting the gospel around the world because those missionaries need it. They need it. They need to receive it, and I need to give it. Father, would you bless us now as our prayer? Lord, I pray that you would help us be actively involved in missions. I pray for every person in this part of this church that we'd be involved in missionaries. Lord, I believe every visitor ought to be involved in missions. I believe every Christian should be a mission-sending Christian. And here's my invitation to each and every one of you. In just a moment, the ladies will play. And if you're here and you're not sure that you're saved, that's the most important thing. Every Christian in this room would say, oh, the most important thing is for you to accept Jesus Christ as your Savior. And that is. And I pray if you haven't ever done that, you're not sure about it, you have some doubts or concerns, Brother Daniel will be right here in front of the pulpit in just a moment, and he will take a Bible, or if you're a lady, he would have a lady do that. Take a Bible and show you how you can be sure heaven's your home. To the most of you, you're saved. I don't ask. I don't ever look. I never ask what people give. That's all between you and the Lord. But I'm telling all of us, small amount, big amount, doesn't matter. Just pray and figure out. God will tell you. I'd like to see all of us involved in missions. This message is too wonderful. The need is great. The command is given. And then really the wherewithal is here. We just got to give it to the Lord. I pray that you'd be faithful to follow what He leads you to do. Would you stand together with me as the ladies play? If God's dealing with your heart, I invite you to come. This is what we call the invitation. I invite you to come. Maybe you're here and you're not sure that you're saved. Brother Daniel, the assistant pastor, will be right here. He's in front of the pulpit where I preach from. All you'd have to do is just get the courage to take that first step down that aisle. He'll be watching for you. Maybe somebody around you, you say that they'd go with you. If you're not sure that you're saved, would you step out and come and let us just sure up it? Maybe you know completely what you need to do and you just need to pray and receive Christ. Maybe you're here and you have some other spiritual need that I didn't preach about. You're saved, but you've never been baptized after you got saved, and you'd like to take that step. It's not a step of salvation, but it's a step of obedience. You'd like to take that step and follow Christ in believer's baptism. Maybe you're here and you're saved and you'd like to join Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. Come and talk to Brother Daniel and present yourself for membership. Thank you so much. You may look this way. Well, it is a flat-out joy to be in church. Amen. What a wonderful place to be. And I hope that the Lord has done something in your heart. I'm not so conceited to think that the message is so great that, wow, that's really what we need to hear. But, and I hope it was a blessing. But it's the camaraderie. It's lifting up Jesus Christ. It's being together with other believers. It's the unified effort to get the gospel to the world. I'm so thankful you're here today. I'm going to ask Brother Colton and Miss Melody if you didn't mind to slip out to their table. And I want you to get a prayer card on your way past. Come back tonight. Hear them and hear his heart. And we're excited about what the Lord is doing in their ministry and what he's going to continue doing. But I want you to come and hear it. I challenge you, if you weren't in Brother Dan's class in Victory, that you can go back. You should be able to go back later and listen to that, or view it rather on archive. But trust that there'll be a blessing to you. I want you to hear them tonight. And ladies, if you don't mind, stop by and get one of those prayer guidelines for the next 30 days. I'm excited, ladies, for that Ladies Jubilee, ladies meeting that you'll have. It's going to be a great time together for you all, and I challenge you to be there. But be praying for it. One of the greatest ways to have a great meeting is to be prayed up. And that guideline is on the guest services counter. So I think that's about all we have. It's 12:01. It's a joy to be in church together. And thank you so much for being here. I'm going to ask Brother Joe Shaw, if you don't mind, Brother Joe, to come up and close us in prayer. Give me just a moment to get to the lobby, and then we'll greet you back there. If the kids are in here, any kids that are in here. Now, if you've got gray hair and there's not much left of it, it's going to be hard to convince me that you're a kid and you need a candy bar, okay? I mean, I was born at night, but not last night. So John Young already hit me up once. And so I like his last name, but it was a no-go. So, Brother Joe, would you pray for us?
Amen. Don't you? Amen. Amen. Lord bless this church because of missions, I do believe. So, Lord, thank you so much that we can come together today. And, Lord, thank you for our visitors and for those, Lord, that have come here to worship you today. Lord, it's all because of you that we can assemble here today. We praise and give you glory for that. In Jesus' name, amen.